This is not the future we were promised.
Jinx and Sue podcast, episode 82. This is Joel Watson from the online geek comic HijinxandSue.com. Frequent listeners may be confused because this is not our standard type of episode. You will notice that Josh, Alex, Eli, and even Roger are absent from the Hijinx and Sue studio today. What you're going to get instead is a little special treat. This is going to be the audio from the Webcomics Roundtable panel recorded at C2E2, the geek pop culture and comics convention that has been held for the last 2 years in Chicago, Illinois. This panel features myself, Chris Wilson, and Rob Denbleicher, two of the creators of Explosum and Cyanide and Happiness. Ryan Somer from Least I Could Do, Looking for Group, Gutters, and the Blind Ferret family of comic properties. And Danielle Corsetto, creator of Girls with Slingshots, girlswithslingshots.com. So please enjoy. I think there were some good questions. I think we had a lot of fun not answering most of them. And it was a good time all around. I do encourage you to check out the comics created by everybody else that was on the panel. If I didn't give those URLs, it's explosum.net, or just Google Cyanide and Happiness, girlswithslingshots.com, and leastikouldo.com or blindferret.com. You should enjoy this. We had a lot of fun making it.
Hi, everybody. Let's all introduce ourselves. My name is Joel Watson. I do a comic called Hijinx and Sue at hijinxandsue.com.
I'm Chris Wilson. I do a comic called Cyanide Happiness at explosum.net.
My name is Rob.
Don't clap. Yeah, but do not clap.
My name is Chris.
And his name is Rob.
Yeah, Rob.
My name is Ryan Somer. I do At Least I Could Do, Looking for Group, Gutters, and a few others.
Your mic's also not on.
It's not on?
No.
Hello? Yeah, it is.
Okay, you get it closer. Choke up on that. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I do. I know what Daddy likes.
Do I have to do like my intro again?
Go for it. Yeah, I don't think they heard it.
My name is Ryan Somer. I do At Least I Could Do, Looking for Group, Gutters, and a host of others. You can clap for me. It's a bit.
Young
Corsetto,
I do Girls with Slingshots, and that's it.
So I guess we're going to do an open-ended question and answer. I assume that mic in the middle of the room is on, so if anybody wants to line up there with their questions.
Can I just stop you right there?
Yeah.
You have a really nice voice.
I have a really nice voice.
Yeah. You guys find that too?
If you'd like to hear more of it, there's a podcast called podcast.hijinxandsue.com. A good 90 minutes of me talking every week. That's totally fun.
I've had an erection now for at least 30 seconds.
I can put a lower toe and I can bring you to full finish if you
do it. I'll love
it. We'll stand right next to that speaker. Oh. Any questions about my beautiful voice? Okay, what's up?
So obviously, you guys publish a different media than like a comic book that's in print. Do you think the change, like the shift from newspapers going more internet, is going to affect your business at all?
I'm going to stop you right there.
Okay.
What's a newspaper?
I mean, it's mostly because we can't compete with the greats like Family Circus.
Did you ever think about, first of all, these kids, their house is haunted by their dead grandparents. Number one, their house is haunted by an evil poltergeist that's knocking shit over and pouring out vases and breaking lamps. These kids are, it's a terrifying situation to be in.
That's not even, like, half as scary as the fact that there's no parental guidance.
No. Any questions about that?
I got lots of questions.
I think that was the answer to your question, though. I'm pretty sure, yeah, we don't think about things like newspapers.
Is there any subject that you guys won't make a comic on that you feel is, like, too risque or crossing too much of your mind?
Let's start with Danielle.
That's it, though.
No, I'll...
make fun of any religion except for one, because I'm Jewish and they don't like me. I'm talking about Snizland.
I say with a sn, so it's that.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I don't understand it.
No, no.
Danielle, you've mentioned before that you dial back the sex sometimes because you think your parents read your comic.
No, because I know my mother reads the comic. Sometimes I get a phone call where it just starts with my first name and my middle name.
And then sigh.
And that's exactly the sigh. Okay.
You hit upload and it's like time to mom call.
That's why I upload so late at night.
Oh, my parents are asleep. Oh, they're asleep. What about you guys?
I've noticed maybe this isn't because we're like scared of it or trying to stray away from it, but I've noticed we haven't done any comics on Scientology and anything on like the Islamic religions.
Yeah, I mean, I don't go out of my way to offend anybody. I mean, the most important thing is that the joke is funny, and if it is offensive at the same time, so be it. It's not going to stop me from making it, but I don't like go out of my way to shock people, and that's a distinction.
Yeah.
I feel the same way. I don't set out to offend. I don't think that's probably the best way to get laughs. It's probably a cheap way to get laughs, but it's safe to say that someone's going to get offended almost no matter what you do. And it tends to be the emails that you'll get are, it's like, hey, I've been reading your comic for 5 years. I was with you until today when you talked about the one thing that I don't like. I've laughed 100,000 times for free for years. You made me happy every day of my life for years. I'm only 20, so it's most of my life. But today, you use a word out of context that I don't like, and we're done, sir. Poop! I will not abide poop jokes. Anybody else? Really, poop jokes?
It was a dude, too. Three different dudes.
Could we get a little bit more on Danielle's mic?
I really liked, was this kind of quiet?
You're just quiet.
I'm a very small.
Get up on it?
Just because I'm the only girl here, what she ought to do.
There we go.
I made some poop jokes. Just a couple of poop jokes. It was just dudes that complained about
it. So it was like, Danielle Corsi, dear Danielle, dildos I am fine with, good madam. But poop, you have crossed the line. People do not do that.
Girls do not do that.
And on the internet, for shame. Somebody use that fancy mic you got there.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
All right. First, can we lay down a beat in a freestyle? All right, stop. Stop that. That was horrible. Next.
All right. Long-time reader of both Girls with Slim Shots and Least I Could Do. Also, the
next.
Only one. All right. Sorry, Joel.
Sorry, just so sorry to stop you there. That's called a reader.
What do they do now?
I think, from what I understand, you come to our site and you read our comic.
No, I'll get that. All right. I'm drawing a blank. Go ahead, sir.
Actually, I just printed out eat it.
An eater.
That's e-reader.
Go ahead.
No, so one of the things that I've noticed, slowly and surely, I've been amassing a larger and larger pool of basically professionally drawn comics. And more people are doing webcomics as a business. And also, the quality of webcomics is getting higher as time goes on, rather Hegelian. And so,
sorry, don't use words, I don't know. Use like small words, the house, tree.
Time, we use time to measure the distance between moments on linear plans. So, there you go. Go ahead.
Don't start that.
All right, we're all fantastic. What's the question?
And so, I've noticed that as the quality of comics has risen, I'm finding that when I go downstairs and I look at comics, I feel this larger and larger gut reaction against paying for comics, because there's just so much really high quality stuff now that one reads for the cost of looking at bad ads. And I'm finding that this, like, webcomics, as this business, it's also very interesting because you guys have much smaller capital. Your comic books, when you do publish as a book, are much more expensive than anything coming out DC or Marvel. And so it's just this weird thing where I've read all of Girls with Slingshots for free, but to get even the first book is $20, whereas I can get probably 3 years of Marvel comics for just $6.
What do you eat? No, you can't. You buy $6 trade paperbacks for a year worth of comics? Where? What fictional store do you shop in?
If it was all Aquaman issues.
I was with you. I was about to commend you on having an original question right until you lost me. I was with you for the first minute and a half of that question, sir, but today you have crossed the line with fictional nonsense. The fair market value for a trade that's usually about 45 pages is like $18. Girls with Slingshot books are like, what, 160 pages?
What trade is 45 pages?
You never see like a small trade?
No, a trade.
Like a graphic novel.
A graphic novel is usually 4 to 6 issues, so it's anywhere from 70 pages to 120 pages.
Okay. But still
you're wrong.
So a Girls with Slingshot book is 165 pages for $20. You can't.
Actually, to be perfectly honest, though, I thought it was too expensive when I put them out. Man, people fucking buy that shit, though. No, that's my price to begin with.
Okay.
But, so, I mean, that's the only reason I kept the price there. And people like the books, and when I was selling them myself, I was selling them print on demand. It was going to be like $8, $9 for me to pay for each book. So, actually, I really had to keep it at that price. And nobody missed out on the price. So I figured, you know what, people really like to support their artists, and they seem to be happy about paying that much, so I'll keep it at the price. But you don't have to buy the books, dear. You can just keep reading.
Yeah, it's stingy.
They are badass too, I understand, but you know, like you said, it's a comment, you just go ahead and ad blocker or whatever. I will not hold that against you.
This guy ad blocks too?
I bet he did.
Yeah. Oh, hell no.
Alright, you're back on the good side now.
I'm about to call security on this dude.
No problem. No, ad blocks him.
Yeah.
Oh, do you didn't get to the question part?
Oh, go for it.
So, my question is,
can I have your books for free? No.
No, I don't want my books for free. But understanding all of this, do you feel like at some point those folks at DC and Marvel might need to actually kind of respond in terms of quality, or maybe people in like whoever still reads print publications might need to really respond to the fact that there's it's like too much high quality stuff. It's like the death of the porn industry. There's too much bad free porn.
I was with you right up until the death of the porn industry, sir.
There's a lot of shit that I'm gonna take from people. I guess I bash in the porn industry.
Say what you will about webcomics. Pornography is an institution!
Whatever you want to do, man. But porn? That's who I am.
Okay, so let me...
What's the question?
Sum it up in like 10 words.
Okay. The news industry killed itself online with too much good free news, which is why the New York Times is going behind a paywall. Do you think the webcomics industry might kill itself with too many good free webcomics?
No.
Absolutely not.
No.
One was involved in that, maybe 2 or 4 for you guys, but you don't have to pay as many employees to get one webcomic.
Yeah, I mean, I live on a pauper's income, and I serve my readers only, and I don't need a million eyeballs to make rent.
We also don't have to leave our houses to our shop.
It's a very low overhead job.
And Erica has one pair of pants she's wearing in the day.
No, I got two.
I am. Yeah. I'm wearing her other pair. I look fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Did we answer his question?
Yes.
We did.
I liked it. I know.
I was happy.
I feel good.
No, you dealt with that very well, sir.
The question, the answer is pants.
Yeah.
Next question, and I'm sorry.
This is for Rob and Chris. I see that you upload daily. Do you have trouble doing that? And do you do it by yourself, or do you guys all come in like a meeting room in this
that would be so cute.
I would.
If we had a meeting room, we'd have to meet up somewhere a couple states away from each other since we're based around all over the country. So probably New Mexico would be where we'd meet up.
You guys forget New Mexico, just go right to Mexico.
Yeah.
One of the few times we've ever written in person was when we were like trying to work on like a TV show idea, and we were all in Los Angeles together, all four of us.
Yep.
We were normally in different states, Dave's in a different country. So we decided that we needed a place to kind of hang out and write together. And we were walking past this. There's like
this tree, and then, you know, we thought that would be Great treehouse.
You were in the O of the Hollywood sign.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, no, we found this, like, pumpkin patch. It was over. They had this giant hollow pumpkin with, like, windows in it and stuff. And it had, like, pillows on the bottom of it. So four of us sat in a circle instead of a pumpkin for, like, 6 hours in a row.
It's true.
A lot of shorts that you've probably seen.
And then some parents came and asked us to leave. And, that's no joke. But, as far as submitting the Daily Comic, sometimes you'll run into issues like problems with the server or problems with your own internet connection or anything
or
like that.
Or problems with pornography. And
yeah, problems with pornography, yeah. But it's pretty easy to go day by day, especially with the four of us. And, we definitely don't write with each other too often unless it's with something like animation.
I have a question. Is it hard to write one comic a week? Is that rough on you guys? I'm just not. After you write a comic, you then take a 3-day break? You just rotate?
Yeah, we rotate. But basically, we just cool down because the idea was so great.
You guys wrote together at C2E2 last year, though. Three of you were together, right?
Yeah.
In a hotel room, and you got some work done. You were writing a book at the time.
Whenever we're together, we end up coming up with some form of content. Usually ends up as some sort of inside joke that we get really inspired with and end up turning into content, like with especially animation.
What was that?
It's not mine.
That was mine, I'm sorry.
Unprofessional.
You guys heard it too, though, right?
Yeah.
You didn't have a stroke, you smell toast.
You guys have a lot of, it might be a Canadian thing. You guys ever had that Dr. Penfield commercial?
Uh-uh.
Any Canadians here?
Kind of.
You're kind of Canadian?
She was excommunicated.
You had sexual assaults.
Thanks.
Well,
thank you.
Was there a question?
Oh my god, did we miss your question?
No, they asked how it was for them to write. That one we actually answered. She didn't say thanks. Jerks.
You guys are dicks.
Go for it.
Hey.
Hi, Alfredo.
Hi. Yeah.
Are we just calling each other pasta names? I'm angry.
No, really quick, before I ask my question, a couple of webcomic artists have recognized me from last year when I was here. I'm starting to reevaluate how much time I need to spend on the internet reading webcomics and responding to Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff. So, next year is definitely, I don't know, I might skip next year.
No,
time,
so.
But yeah. But no. Yeah. No. But
we're a Power Girl costume next year.
Yeah. Okay, sure. I'll consider it.
I have $20 that says this guy actually has a question.
No.
Yeah. I do.
I don't really have 20 bucks.
There was on Webcomics Weekly by some other people.
Not familiar, go ahead.
Okay. Scott Kurtz was talking about this one.
Still not familiar, go ahead.
Yeah, he's kind of no. But he was talking about this guy, I can't remember what comic he does, but basically he figured out SEO.
The oatmeal.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, web optimization. Web search optimization. Mm-hmm. To basically put link keywords to your site so that and he sort of figured out a way to kind of game the system.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sort of upset about the whole thing because he read an article about it, about how this man is a cartoonist.
So what's the question?
Is it right to kind of use SEO? I know it's kind of a weird question, but...
What that guy was doing wasn't actually SEO, just to clarify extremely quickly. What this guy did with the oatmeal early on is he was a search engine optimizer. That was his business. And he built a business where people would embed these surveys into their websites. The surveys contained these backdoor links that he was selling for, like, best hotel fares or whatever. So if you put the top 10 which Justin Bieber am I survey on your Facebook or whatever, you were actually adding to the Google algorithms for these people who were paying this guy at the oatmeal. And he got found out and he can't do that anymore. So his comics, I guess, don't have anything to do with that. But as far as just doing straight up traditional SEO, I do it to some extent. I mean, it doesn't work. You can't really do a lot of it with images, not a lot. But if you have relevant content and you kind of want to get people to find it by accident, there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's
nothing wrong with what he did in hiding.
This is
links.
So long, listen. His what he does now, I'm not...
What he's doing now, I'm not talking about. I'm talking about when he was hiding links in these surveys.
Was it... No, it was... But...
That was a little underhanded.
Well, he just wasn't smart. That just wasn't the survey.
Do you think it's one of those things where you're like, no one's thought of this before, and that's because it's bad to do that?
I agree, but a lot of things on the internet aren't like that.
Yes, true.
And I like the way that, you know, the internet is completely neutral. You're allowed to do whatever you want to pretty much on there. You know, you could get busted for child porn, it's likely you're going to put it up there. But on the other hand, it's exposing the people who are into the index, so...
Hey, that's not pretty quick.
Yeah.
I mean, it equalized eventually, and
he's still
got more page views than anyone at this table. So, I guess he won.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey, we answered a question.
Wow.
I feel pretty good. Thank you. It's a big day for all of us. Whoa, you're wearing a suit.
It's tall too.
Yeah,
it's tall.
I'm actually in a scarecrow costume and a mask off, so.
I
appreciate it.
Yeah.
So take the mask off. I had to. I had to. You can't serve that up and not expect me to send it back.
Well, that's when I actually do pull my face off.
Jeez.
You look foolish.
Be impressed and foolish. Go ahead.
My question. I was wondering. What does it feel like to, I assume you get invited to do something like this? Do a panel or a webcast roundtable? Yeah. You have to sign up for it?
Depends. Asked us, and I forgot whether or not I even signed up. I just came because he told me to.
I actually thought that I used to do a panel in Seattle. I shit you guys not. In Seattle, I'm like, when I was there, I was like, oh, so when's the panel? And Jim was like, there's no webcomic panels. And I'm like, no, what the fuck?
It's a fever dream.
And I'm here, and the girl sends, you know, an email from my guy saying, make sure someone's at their so-and-so. I'm like, oh. So it feels good.
Well, I guess I just modify that and say, what does it feel like when you realize that, you know, you've got enough fans that you can put your
day job. I would say humbling, but I'm pretty sure that's not going to be his answer.
Wow.
I got one.
Yeah, his answer is, it felt like my dick grew 3 sizes that day.
Well, with you were like that. I'm
you are the webcomics Grinch, right? I mean, that's how it works, right?
I don't know how that happens. I really don't. Good. Listen, I'm very humble. I know. But honestly, I'm very grateful for every single reader, whether you buy our shit or not, you come to our site, you support us, and I hope that what we do and we show that to you by every time you come to our site at 12 o'clock, there's a new strip for you, there's something good for you every day. We keep our promises. You never have to come to any of my sites and wonder if there's gonna be a new comic that day, because you know there will be. So I hope that's how we show it to you. So,
Joel, fuck off. That's my answer.
You're pretty on time with your strips, eh?
It's unless I'm here. It's I recently went from 3 days a week to 5 days a week, but not at a specific time. It's sometime during the day. So whatever. But that's the thing, though. That he said, though. He says we keep our promises.
Yeah.
My promise to my readers is that we'll give you this many strips in a given week. Yeah, I'm not doing it at 12:01 midnight. That's just not. I can't work like that. But
you know, there's a way with technology now where you can actually do it before.
No.
Wait, hang on. Wait for it.
Demons.
You did
magic.
You did it before. They created a little gremlin.
Illusions. What about you guys? How do you feel when you quit your day job?
I never got a day job. Chris was in high school and it's about $7. Kind of, yeah.
Thanks for
I quit school.
Thanks for making the rest of us feel old.
I'm not even 30 and I feel stupid.
You're not 30?
Like 4 months.
Oh, I'm the oldest. Awesome.
The oldest, the baldest.
One of those chaperones that dance with the students.
Are you spiking on water with Red Bulls? Like, come on, I'm the cool guy.
Yeah,
one
more.
Tell
was there a question? Did we answer?
How did it feel to quit your day job?
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, cool.
That was thunderous.
That was like the slow clap.
Yeah, this is a question for the creators of Silent Happiness. I know that a lot of the times whenever your comics come around religion, like they come very, very close to offensive, not quite crossing that line yet, like Happy Zombie Jesus Day, that sort of thing. I was just curious if you'd ever come under any type of fire from an organized group or anything like that, or if it's just been angry letters.
I'll take this one, guys.
Okay. It's usually definitely angry individuals, and they will disagree and say that we have crossed some sort of line. But I've never seen anything as far as an official statement of any official religion.
You ever gotten a letter from the Pope yet?
Yeah. We definitely haven't been castigated yet.
And we've definitely gotten fewer and fewer of these angry emails about religious comics. I think people are starting to just ignore us.
Yeah, they know what to expect. Yeah. More.
They're not going to change us.
A few years in, they were like, these guys aren't going to stop.
Like, that email didn't do anything.
I typed it so hard!
So me and my friend were actually over at the Odeon Press panel over there.
Is that some kind of candy shop? What is that?
Something like that. And we actually heard the riotous laughter over here. We said, maybe we should go over to the webcam.
You're welcome.
But the question I'd like to ask, which is what I've been thinking about, how important is travel for you guys, like going to different conventions and signings? Or do you rely on that more for business and starting up for your ship, or do you still rely a lot on ads? I'm kind of wondering the balance there.
For me, it's more than a necessity. A lot of people start doing cons when they just start out, and I would advise against that. I think it's very premature until you have a sizable audience to just go and try and break even, because if you're looking at getting readership and you're going to go to a con for a weekend, you might talk to 100 people, and 100 new readers isn't going to... You could get that from a link from a very small website. I wouldn't look at it for readership, so I actually use it as a money-making endeavor. I make about a third of my income traveling. I have to do about 10 to 12 shows a year. Last year I did like 16. It's brutal, but it's also, and I don't know how you guys feel about this, but most people that do a regular job, any job, never, ever, ever even get this, just a sliver of the sort of minor celebrity gratitude, the kind of stuff that we get to experience. And if anyone bullshits you that that's not the greatest feeling in the world, they're a fucking liar. Because having someone come up and treat you like you're super special and you made them super happy, and like my friend Randy does a comic called Something Positive. He sits right next to me, and we've done a bunch of shows together, and I've seen little girls come up to him speechless.
Not sweetness.
Yeah. And it's like, most people will never know what that feels like. And it's fucking awesome. It's the best feeling in the world. So even if it wasn't good for money, it's great for that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do it for the fans. I love traveling, and I love coming out to these. And honestly, like, the impulse buys really do sometimes make up for what doesn't sell in the store. But and also, I can bring things that I don't have in the store to begin with. But it's doing the free sketches for the people who are, you know, actually reading your script and basically helping you make a living out of it, whether they know it or not. Just by being there. The gratitude is kind of the give and take. It's nice.
I also think that we spend, you know, 10 months of the year behind a monitor. And it's nice to interact with people every now and then.
It's nice to feel like... I feel like these guys are my coworkers, which is what's really weird. Like, I don't have any people that I interact with on a daily basis at all.
I probably, like, more than boss, though. That's...
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, you're like the middle management.
Yeah, right.
But we're out of coffee filters in the break room.
Thank you.
Sorry. My question is about your origin story. Did you guys start out as like hobby drawing for fun and then it turned into a job? Or did you start out looking for it to be a job? How did that come about?
I know that we definitely started out hobby-wise. Yeah, you know, we started this comic and we started just trying to make each other laugh. And we didn't really show it to a lot of people until we started up the site.
Yeah. I mean, going off what Joel was saying earlier, once you get kind of a taste of e-fame or whatever you want to call it, it is compelling. Even if you're not making money, it's compelling. And when I was in high school, I made an animation series called Joe Zombie on this site, newgrounds.com. And I had like a little small audience, but it was enough for me to want to keep going even though there was no money involved. So eventually, like, we shut down that old site. We were all like turning 18 decided to like stick
old
figure.
Man.
Oh, 18. Oh, shit.
Our old side was like stick figures killing themselves and like really, really like childish animations. So we decided to like graduate to like boner jokes from that.
Swear.
Your next book should be called Graduating to Boner Jokes.
How about you guys?
What about you guys?
I forgot the question.
What was the question?
Your
origin story. Okay.
I used to write, I started writing when I was about 18. Which was 15 years ago, so fuck off. I started writing when I was 18. I used to write a bunch of newspapers in the States and Canada. But at the time, I had a job. I was working at a law firm. I left the law firm to see if I could write comics. And I gave myself 2 years. And I said, if I don't do it within 2 years, then I tried. Great. If not, not. And I was very fortunate that 2 years went by, and here I am.
Wait, were you trying to write, like, Marvel DC comics, or were you
not
straight
no,
to the web?
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I started doing mine as a practice because I loved doing comics first since I was, like, 8 years old.
Hang on, Danielle. Someone's getting a phone call.
I would love this
phone.
Would
you like the portal ring sound?
I think she sounds
yeah.
good.
Go ahead.
I've been doing comics since I was, like, 8 years old. It's been my constant love. It's always, like, the first... If somebody asks me what I am, I say a cartoon. That's my first answer for it. So since I didn't think I was going to be able to make a living at it, since dildo jokes went over really well next to Family Circus, like these guys were talking about.
I think they'd be great, actually.
Right next to
what's
the giant
bottom drawer?
Yeah. Why can you do that?
I don't know where I live.
So I was just keeping it up as something to do to keep my skills going, because I was a photojournalist for a newspaper. Ironically, my last employee job was at a newspaper. And... So I was doing it for fun, and it was also kind of a way to show off my HTML skills, even though they were pretty 2002. Those and web design skills and my illustration and writing skills all on one big website, so I could try to get more freelance jobs. And I was able to quit my job, I think a few months after I started Girls with Slingshots, but I was doing illustration work the entire time. I never anticipated for it to be my full-time job, but then I had an awful lot of readers who really wanted me to make it that way, and so I switched to 5 times a week, and... went ahead and started putting my full devotion to it.
I've been drawing my whole life, and when I was about 16 or 17, I think I decided I wanted to be a newspaper cartoonist. I figured that was the only way to do it, and so I started kind of keeping ideas for what my newspaper strip would be about. And when I was about 20 years old, I had this sort of stockpile. My grand idea was Calvin and Hobbes, but with a robot instead of a tiger. That was it. There was nothing else good about it. It was exactly stealing that idea in a robot. But it was called David Howell, which I thought was clever for a 17-year-old. So anyway, I was putting together this strip idea, and then I read this article on this website. There was an internet back then. It was small. But on the National Cartoonist Society website, and there was this article about new submissions, or it might have been just their submission guidelines, and it said something like, we get 20,000 submissions a year. From that, we take one or two. And it's usually when someone dies. So there's no space. And that kind of defeated me ultimately. I was like, oh, well, this is pointless. This will never be a job. And if I can't go all the way, I don't want to do it. So like 7 years went by, I hadn't drawn anything. And I was in a sales job. And I really hated it, but I was making a ton of money. And then I had a kid. And then I realized that I was, had she been old enough to ask what I did for a living while I was gone for 12 hours a day, I was actually really ashamed of the answer because I was doing it just for money and didn't have any joy in it at all. And I thought that was a bad example to set for my daughter. So I got myself fired, which is kind of like quitting, and started the comic. And I guess from day one, I had the idea in the back of my head that this should be my job. I didn't expect it to be so quickly. So about a year and a half into the comic when I lost that job, I told my readers, hey guys, guess what? I don't have a job. If you want any more comics, let's all work together to make this my full-time job. And they started donating and buying stuff and telling their friends, and we called it the experiment. And it's been a few years since then, and I'm still doing it. Next. Thanks.
Thank you.
My question immediately after that is always, what is your actual little question? Because there's so much advice you can give you, but do you have a really specific question? and getting started? That's a really non-specific question. Do you mean like where to put the website, you know, where to host it, how to get the drive and initiative to do it?
More like coming up with ideas, like the initial idea to start.
Let me ask you one question. Have you made a comic yet? Then you're not ready to ask that question that you just asked. I'm not being a jerk. I'm saying seriously. Go make a comic.
Yeah, just start writing and see what happens.
Start writing, start drawing, show it to your friends. The first maybe 15 comics I made, I just emailed to my buddies. I don't even think they were online. I was just like, does this make you laugh? Do we like this? Is this funny for human beings? And but until you have... If you're trying really, really hard to write or draw something and you're still not doing it, then you're not ready to ask, how do I make a comic? Does that make sense? What do you guys think? I don't
know. Yeah.
I agree with Joel.
Always. That's the voice.
Whatever the deep man says.
Speak with confidence.
Thank you.
Good luck.
But the real answer was in your question. You say, how do I just get started? Just get started. Just start tonight. Make a comic tonight. Send it to your friends.
Make a comic right now.
Why are you sitting down?
No, there's pins. There's a Diglett booth out there. They sell pens and paper.
I was hoping she would get expired and go shooting out the door.
Hi.
What I like about specifically your guys' comics, I think I've read you all, so one guy, I'm not going to tell you.
Because I'm the only guy here that represents one comic, so I saw the flaw in here. I found the lie.
So it rolls out Danielle then.
Yeah.
Well, basically, I like it, what you guys do. Basically, you have this kind of story that's grounded in reality, but still off enough that you know, that you have to, like a friend told you, like your friend told you a story, and it's just real enough that you might believe them, but still off enough that you cannot believe them.
Yeah.
You're like, get the hype for real.
Who the fuck are your friends? Don't drink the punch. I steal them.
From me.
Yeah, all of
dudes.
I obey Supermoon. Supermoon's coming tonight, and we're all going to ascend. So, you guys know that's why we're in this room, right?
We're here to ascend with these guys.
You drank the Red Bull, right? You wearing the Nikes? Yeah, we're out of here.
Yeah, I see what you're saying about how situations seem familiar, like it could have been a story you heard. Yeah. And like with my comics personally, I try to keep them grounded in reality and like conversations and the way people like treat each other, because I think that's way funnier than anything surreal or absurd. It's just people talking, like that's most of my comics.
Even though a lot of mine come from real life situations or conversations, it mostly is real or surreal and absurd. But mostly something that I'm sure Rob can agree with is we don't have characters and storylines, and it gives us a whole lot less boundaries, as far as coming up with content or using day-to-day experiences in the actual comics.
I find that good stories are rooted in, what we do, our everyday lives, who we talk to, what we see, where we go. At the same time, it is about, for me at least, it's about the exaggeration.
Yeah.
It's about taking something, but pushing it because you can. You're in the comic world, so it doesn't have to be two guys talking. You can have a spaceship flying in the background. Who gives a shit?
If people talked exactly like good writing, we would all be very bored talking to each other because we'd all be talking a lot. Does that make sense? Good writing is, you rewrite it a couple of times. People don't get to edit, so good writing should seem well edited.
Yeah. So I sound like an idiot in person. People expect me to sound good in my comic. These one out.
You should say, if they ask you a question, you should say, okay, got it. Give me 3 hours.
Sometimes two. Actually, I write my comic over, I'm saying write because he hates it when I say script.
That's not the proper use of the word.
It
drives me fucking nuts. Do you ever see when she does this?
I know that you don't like it when she does that.
It drives me fucking... You don't go out... What do you say? You
don't car your car?
Thank you.
Okay.
You don't go in script. You go and write a script. And I don't care if any of you disagree with me. I'm right on this, despite the fact that I'm probably not. Sorry, Daniel. Go ahead.
When I script, I do.
Oh.
I do it over at a tea shop and just sit down and listen to people and eavesdrop on them for a couple of hours to get an idea for other people's voices because I don't want everything to be in my voice, even though it generally does. But I'll drop in an extra F-bomb and, you know, suddenly it's my words. But, you know, I kind of listen in on people's conversations and get an idea for, you know, other characters and characters that I can't really get into their heads. It kind of gives me ideas as to what they might be thinking. And
so you're stealing people's.
Yeah,
they
have no idea.
Steal their essence.
The way I write is based on, well, when I started the comic, it was actually about me and two of my friends, for me and two of my friends. That was my intended audience, was to make these guys laugh. And so originally, I was actually taking our real conversations and turning them into comics with a little bit of finesse. And after this became my job, I stopped seeing my real friends because they all live in the waking world. And I live at nighttime. And so I had to start writing them as if it was in their voice, which then I realized it accidentally became characters as opposed to people. So as the comic progresses, it becomes more exaggerated, more ridiculous as far as their personas go. But the way I write is typically I start with one idea, and then I type that one idea out, and then in a notepad document, I just write, no stopping, no editing, just stream of consciousness. And so for every three-panel comic, I start with like a page and a half of text. And then I just pick out every single thing that is the best, the absolute funniest or the absolute most poignant, so that I've got limited space. I want to use only, I want there to be a little bit of a laugh at least in every panel. And if one of them is supposed to be the punchline, get the big laugh there. But I don't want to waste two panels with, hey, what are you guys doing? Nothing. What are you doing? Second panel. Let's go do that thing. No, let's not do that thing. Third panel. Da-da-da! Like, here's the joke! I think that's sloppy. So I try to edit more than I write.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hey.
What ways would you recommend for a fledgling webcomic to your readership?
Be really good.
Yeah, be good and be consistent.
All right, thanks.
Were you thinking about being bad or doing a really bad comic?
There's just so much stuff.
It's a common problem.
I was thinking good, but if you recommend bad,
I'd go like good, good plus. Good and a half.
I would add that, like, on top of being good, obviously, it's really important to be consistent. If you stop for a couple weeks or a month and take a hiatus, your readers are going to find something better. They're going to find something to, like, entertain them. And the chances are not all of them are going to come back.
You have at best a tenuous grasp on your readership at most times. And if there is so much internet out there, they will leave you like dogs. They will just like rats on a sinking ship.
Yeah, we took 2 weeks off in like 2006 for Christmas,
yeah.
And we lost like a third of our readers.
Back in 2006, back when you guys were 18?
I graduated in 2006. I was 17.
I'm at 11.
We've only got 8 minutes left, so if we want to get to everybody, let's move on to the next one. Thank you.
When writing over the long term, how do you guys keep characters and story arcs from getting stale?
I just undo them.
Yeah. Keep it fresh, you know? Try and, you know, things, life moves. We all change. We all grow up. Things cannot, for me at least, they can't stay static forever. Life is very dynamic. It's always changing. Your characters have to evolve. Even if you have a comic that's very, you know, gag, they have to evolve somewhat. There has to be some kind of change. You can change the things around them, you can change relationships, but there has to be, time moves one direction, so I think your characters have to do the same.
Do you feel like the root of change for comics, at least in general, is problems? Like, can things, or things are going too well, let's throw in a problem?
I think things can also, you know, be going well, and there's, you know, you're in a relationship. Well, fuck. I guess it's a problem if your wife wants to take it to the next level.
You know? Yeah, I mean, that's the essence of drama,
yeah,
right?
But there's always something, like, you know, we don't need static lives. We're always doing something. We're always moving. We're always trying to do something with them. So your character should be no different.
John Arbuckle hasn't changed a whole lot, though. So I'm like,
we're
going to 30 years.
If you have any extra time, we're going to rag on Jim Davis.
Thanks.
So as the webcomics industry has evolved so much from like early...
Get up on that mic.
As the webcomic industry has evolved
you
from
early... Wait, webcomic industry?
So like...
Let me stop you right there.
But from things like Sluggy Freelance to today, how would you say a webcomic starting out needs
what's,
to change?
What's Bungie Flashdance?
Sluggy Freelance. D-Day Booms.
Go ahead.
But how would you say somebody starting a webcomic today should do things differently from how, say, when you guys started out?
All those video game comics seem to fucking end already. Your time is up.
That's true, but there's actually a valid point there. I would not, just for sheer likelihood of the chance of making it at all, I would not try to trot on well-covered territory. You are not going to make the next Penny Arcade. You're just not. It's covered. It's done. There's Penny Arcade, and then there's 100 sub-Penny Arcades, and then there's 10,000 basement Penny Arcades. And the likelihood of you rising to the top of video game humor is zero. So pick something that you know a lot about, that you can speak about with authority or with a twist that people will find interesting. One of the most successful comics I know in terms of starting and captivating a readership is Unshelled. It's about librarians. And they're not here. They're not at any other comic cons usually. They're at library cons. And they rule those people with an iron library house. If anyone out there can find a niche that hasn't been covered yet, you've just increased your likelihood of success probably 100 times.
Don't do the same shit that everyone else is doing. You wanna come to the table, bring something new. You know, it's.
We're also saying that to decrease competition.
Thank you.
Hey, another question. So before you guys upload your comics, do you test it? Do you show it to friends? Make sure. How do you know that you're actually getting funny?
When you get your comic at 3 in the morning, you don't have time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, my process goes, finish the comic at like 5 or 6 a.m., upload it, wait a second till Twitter tells me I did something wrong or spelled something wrong, scramble to fix that, upload that about 30 minutes later, then the second run, like, thing of typos come in, I'm like, okay, I got it, all right, and then the post under the comic says post dot dot dot, and I'm furiously writing a post. And
yeah. I don't know. I do it very differently. I wasn't being a smartass.
To answer your real question, though, I don't show my comics to anyone before I finish them. I think I know my readers well enough at this point, after 4 years or so, to know that I know when I'm done if it's an A, B, or C grade comic. I might say, you know what, this is about the best I could do on this comic, and I feel like my energy would better be spent moving on to the next one. Or I could say, no, I can do better. I can make this a top-level comic for my readers, and keep reworking it. And you just have to kind of make those choices. But I know them well enough, and I know what they've responded to and what I'm happy with to know if I've done a good job. I typically, no one, my, I don't think my wife even sees them before I upload them.
See, for me, I write just for me, like, honest to God. I write for me, and if I find it funny, then it goes out. If I don't find it funny, I'm not going to send it out. But I think one of the advantages we have is that we do work ahead, so that we're never swayed by reader opinion, reader thoughts. Again, Laura and I read what you guys think and what you guys are feeling with storylines, but by the time you guys are reacting, there's already 3 weeks beyond that already done.
Wow,
so, yeah, it's crazy. So it's too late.
Like you have a time machine.
It's called Red Bull. So yeah, all right, for me.
Do you guys show each other your comics, or do you, the one guy doing it that day just upload it?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, it depends. We might, like, Crystal text me. like at 11 o'clock and say, like, hey, I'm just
coming. Look at the text that says, yeah, is this funny? You know, if Eddie Murphy was a Yeti, Yeti Murphy.
Yeah. Copyright Chris Wilson. He came up with that, not me, not me. Not me.
It's very funny, yeah.
2 months over now?
Oh, a year ago.
Yeah, Chris came up with that.
Oh, really? I don't come up with that. I'm too impressed.
Do not. That's how we just text everyone.
Yeah. Like, yeah, if you guys want to start texting me ideas, that's fine.
Yeah, you gotta be careful with something like that, because, you know, it can almost become something like marketing, you know? And where you test out an audience, and suddenly it's not something that you're, it's not you writing.
That you're yourself. You no longer own the idea. You've,
well, Ryan's right. If you're writing for yourself, the chances are your audience will have a similar sensibility. So if you think it's funny, the people that you are writing it for will probably also think it's funny. And then those that don't probably shouldn't be reading it.
Yeah.
What's up?
Cool. I had a couple questions about what would you recommend to develop the audience for your comic for someone that's starting out? In addition to just being good, I mean, what other advice could you give?
Are you talking like
growing your readership?
Yeah, yeah, like, for increasing your readership.
Okay. Increasing your readership.
Well, we went over Gaming Google already.
Yeah.
Gaming Google is one. Black Hat SEO is another. Spamming the creators of your favorite webcomics to link to you is the best possible thing you can do. No.
We're not going to do it.
I'll tell you this. Honestly, I want to say this. A guy on Twitter, I noticed that he was going to every webcomic artist that I've ever heard of, adding all of them, and saying, why don't you check out my comic? And sort of out of spite, I went to his comic, and it was drawn well. I didn't bother reading it, but the site looked okay. It was drawn well. And so I thought, rather than be a douche, I'm going to help this guy. And I messaged him and said, you have to stop doing this immediately, or you're going to make everyone that might ever help you one day into an enemy. We hate this shit. So he replies back, well, then what should I do? And I was like, not that. You know, like, I don't want to help you now, because that was the worst idea.
There's no specific path. Like, I think each of us up here can tell a different story to how we got traffic. You know, every comic is different. Every audience is very different. Money helps. You want to put some money into a project, wonderful, to kind of get going and see what you can do there. It's the same recycled webcomic audience, but at least it's a start. But again, my focus is always on the product. And I firmly, what is that? Let's say 10 minutes?
You have, yeah, we got
Jesus, 10
minutes.
Wow, nice.
What other signs do you have?
I bet she has one that says 5 minutes. Let's find out in 4 minutes.
Awesome. But that's something that's kind of great about doing a comic on the internet in the first place, is the audience will find you, and it will be an audience that appreciates your work and what you're doing.
The way people share things now, the recommendation from one friend to another is more valuable than a link on some random site, I think.
Yeah.
Your best friend says, I know your sense of humor, you are going to love this. They're probably close, you know? They're a jerk and they don't know you that well.
So do you guys use, like, Facebook, Twitter, or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, social media is great.
Twitter more than anything for me.
I hate social media. I use Twitter just because, I don't know, I think it's funny to tell people about my poop.
As people more famous than me start reading my comic, and then they start tweeting it, I find that to be a huge source of new readers. Because again, Twitter is a...
You're very welcome.
You have never once linked to my site in any fashion. Believe me, I know. Twitter is a relationship. It's stupid to say this, but it's true. It's a trust relationship. If you follow somebody, it's because you either like their opinion, you think they're funny, or you want to hear more about what they say. You know, whatever. So when someone you're already bothering to follow on Twitter says, this is good, you guys are going to like this, and they have a million followers, that's a pretty good... And it's the same as that one-to-one recommendation from a friend. You can say, I like this guy enough to trust his opinion.
If I can make a broad...
Read Hijinks and Zoom. Tweeting right now.
But are you actually linking?
Yes.
Oh, shit, I'm going to link.
No!
They can Google it.
No, I demand an extra tweet.
Sorry,
follow-up tweet. Google it, assholes.
Just a direct example. If there's a general rule, make your it's a hyperlink, not just a name. The name of your website with a link underneath your signature for every single email that you send out, every single forum post that you make. If there's a link, this kind of like a two-step rule. Somebody has to do it, two clicks or whatever. If people have to do more than one click to get to you, they're not going to look at your comic. So make it as accessible as possible. For instance, now they have to Google Hijinks and Sue.
Yeah.
That's www.hijinksandsue.com. I love Joel.
Thank you. History has been made.
Well, thank you for the answer, and thank you for an enjoyable panel.
Thank you. I think we actually do have time for two more, so nobody else come up.
That guy stole both my questions.
Go sit down.
I came up with a new one. Would you...
the inside of a woman, now.
I'm just kidding, I don't know. Go ahead.
I don't know how to pleasure a woman. I have no idea.
You're psychic. That was it, thank you. Would you recommend posting, like if you make a strip, posting the strip on different sites, like on a DeviantArt?
No.
Also your own?
No.
To be fair,
single destination.
I hate DeviantArt, but it does help because there is a community out there.
I feel like you can do, you want a single destination for your comic. If you like me, come to mycomic.com, whatever. But if you want feedback from your peers, and there's a DeviantArt group, or a forum, or an art forum, or whatever, a writing forum, that you feel like you can get feedback and grow, do that. Don't do that to get readers. Do that to make better work. But you don't want to send people five different places. You're gonna fracture your audience that way.
You can always just put a sample up at those websites. That's perfect, as long as you have a hyperlink to your actual website. They like what they see, they're going to check.
There's a trend right now of people posting their comics on their website and their sketches and rough ideas on, like, Tumblr. And I think that's a pretty good combination of and use of those mediums.
For me, I'd rather, like, as a reader, I like one at one source. I like one, like, you know, hijinksandsue.com.
Wait, is there an HTTP/// before that? Or? Go ahead.
You know what the link said?
Google it.
Not a link.
Are you shitting me?
Yeah.
I'm not. Reject.
The link didn't work. Oh, it's never going to work. Nothing works.
I see what you mean to it.
See,
it's
a pain in the ass.
Well, DeviantArt is a great example because, like, I've met some colleagues that work with us now through DeviantArt, and also when I first started drawing up, like, scribbling up this crappy little comic, I was putting it on different forums and sites and everything, one of them being Rob's, which is kind of what started this whole partnership and everything, and it can be to an extent, but mostly it's not a good idea to split your content into two places, and at least not all of it.
I do put my comics up early on Facebook, but that's just because, I mean, having however many thousand people following you on Facebook, you can send them anything you want. You can send them a link to your new project. You can, you know, start a suicide.
Or pictures of your junk.
Junkbins.com.
Tell them to, like, grab guns and meet you at a certain place.
Yeah. You text out, the eagle has left the nest. Time is nigh. Supermoon is coming.
Is that available?
Can somebody please check my Twitter and tell me if I did that right?
Next. Thanks. Last one.
Thank you.
I'm good?
Yeah.
Aha.
Uh-huh,
you're welcome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Do you guys read either each other's webcomics or other webcomics?
I read Joel's comic. Tell me those.
I only read my comic.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
That one's a really weak answer from all of us.
Do you guys have, like, other favorites, or not necessarily recommend which you like to read every day?
Okay. I like Oblaf. He's a funny talker.
Yeah. And that's some sexy shit. It's a lady who does it.
That's a lady who does it?
Yeah.
She is.
It's even hotter. It's even hotter now that you know that, right? Yeah.
Now, yeah. Now it's like porn.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we're done.
Wait. Did she put up a sign?
Well, it's 2 minutes.
No, I'm not leaving. She put up.
Okay, what's our time? Can you give me a fingers?
No fingers. I want a sign.
Text it to us.
Can you put it on Twitter? Can you Twitter?
We can do lightning rounds.
Is it 2 minutes?
Yeah, it's like
2 minutes. Okay, any more question? Do we have any more comics that we like?
Lightning rounds. It's good. Questions and answers really fast.
Okay, last one.
Some webcomics try to, like, make Flash series and stuff, but it never really took off as well as just the regular panels did. Is there a technology limit there? Or are you guys just
slowly working toward it.
That's not even, these guys are the exception to that. I mean, they're very successful with their flash shorts, right?
Yeah, we do well.
I'll talk about that.
For 2 minutes.
Well, yeah, videos are harder to make than cartoons, that's all I can say.
Yeah, animation's got to be one of the slowest forms of producing media, but as long as it's constant, it should do well. I mean,
what were you saying yesterday? It was like 5 days to the minute of animation?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, a minute of animation takes 5 days for us. But we only have 4 people working on it. It's
yeah.
If we had like a whole crew, we could probably make a short in a day, but there's not enough money to do that.
We had a whole crew, and we couldn't do a short in a day. We had a...
Try stick figures.
Yeah. That's a good point. At the time, we had 14 animators working full-time at Blind Fair, and we were producing a lot. We did stuff, Canadian television, other shit, and overseas, and whatever. And it's hard.
Yeah.
It is. It's a pain in the ass.
It's very draining.
Yeah. We kind of all met as animators initially, so the interest was always there.
Okay. Also, it's really, really hard to animate for 10 hours and then try to think of something funny for a comic. Your brain is fried by that point.
Let's take our last, 30 seconds or so and say where we are in the hall.
www.hygienesandsuit.com.
So these guys can come visit us and buy all our merchandise after this panel.
HTTP.
Yeah. Danielle and I are at booth 862 facing the Webcomics Alley, Artist Alley area. We have lots of fun books and plushies and merchandise and t-shirts for sale.
We also have a short pack and something positive.
And something positive, we're also there too.
We're in the same row, 3 booths over.
Yeah, and we're with Saturday Morning Breakfast Cereal. What's the name of
it? Zach Wiener. Come see those guys.
854, yeah, we're there with Zach Wiener at Saturday Morning.
And we are across from Marvel at 505. But these guys are great too.
I've committed all of your faces to memory. I expect every single one of you. Single file line.
Please, everyone follow Joel. Go buy his book. Come to me for money and go buy his book.
Time to stop.
Ready?
Wait, let me see it.
Yeah, stop.
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 We're done. Everybody clap.